Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday. The time is now 6:02 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:02 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is April the 2nd, 2022. Yeah, yesterday was April Fool's Day, and I don't know if you fooled anybody, but today we're not fooling around. We're going to talk about some great topics, and we have some great guests that are joining us. Normally on the show, I usually keep the best for last because this is the best, and I couldn't keep it for last. We're going to talk about the adult gaming industry, and I have two guests that are going to be joining me momentarily. I was thinking, when I look at what has happened with during the pandemic, where people were stuck at home, what could you do for entertainment? Movies, and people watching movies, people were just eating, and that's it, right? But they were playing games. And the industry, the gaming industry, the video game industry especially, has just boomed ever since. So today we have two guests that are going to join us and share not just how that phenomenon came about, but also tell us a little bit about EACL, Esports Amateur Competitor League. My guests today are V-Tay's Story Williams and Taja Ray Burney. And I'm going to open up their mics momentarily. I said that already, didn't I? Okay, but I see that there are some folks here on the board. I'm going to open up your mics also. If you guys are not on the board and you're listening live through the internet, make sure you sign up for the chat room. And because some people don't like to always talk, but go to the chat room. And, you know, if you have any questions or comments for our guests, post them there. I will read them live on the air, okay? Okay, so Let me see here. I'm sorry. Something just occurred, so I apologize for the delay. Something just occurred, and I'm trying to correct it. I think I got it taken care of. Okay. All right. So there was just a little glitch in the board, and so I got it taken care of. All right. So let me open the mics. First, I want to welcome to the show, V-Taze. How are you doing? Happy Saturday to you.
Hi. How are you, Mike? How are you, Michael? Nice to meet you. Nice to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And also, I'm going to open the mic of Taja Ray. There we go. Taja, how are you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk to everyone. And there's such a bigger message here, so we're excited to get to that as well. But we will definitely be tapping in on the gaming industry and the clear gap in that industry. And then, we'll take it from there. So thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
So I have to say, we got to give you a round of applause for joining us. So welcome to the show, V-Taze and Taja, to the K-Yo. All right. Thank you. Okay, thank you, crowd. Thank you, crowd. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, so as I said and I shared before, I work at a local Walmart here. And, you know, and when I was introduced to V through a friend of mine, and she said, you know, she would be a great person to talk to about this. And I just want to get into this topic first before we move on about EACL and the other things that you guys do. The video game industry, how is it that we are so much of the consumers of these games, but we're only a certain percentage of the creators of these games? Can you share that?
Yeah. Well, Michael, I remember the day of Atari. We've come quite a long way from Atari.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. I remember when we had at home, but before that we were playing at home, we were playing, and then it went into the hand pods and everything. But, I mean, like so many things in our community, they're just living off of us as consumers instead of benefiting us. And that's one of the things I appreciate about what we're able to do with EACL. But it's important that it's something that gives back. While we're out there doing whatever we're doing, if we're enjoying it, if we're not as a community investing in it, then that whether we know it or not, we are, but it's about making an investment where we invest in ourselves, okay? So that's where I see it from my point of view. I mean, besides that, playing it, everybody loves to play. And like you said, after COVID, folks that was playing are now playing, and I'm one of those people. Hello?
I think we're still on the call. Maybe.
We could be on the topic, but I'll tell you what. Looking at that, talking about investment, as an ELC licensee, I'm all about being able to have the opportunity to introduce this, a touch of the social gaming industry to our community. It's not every day that the African-American community or low-income community has the opportunity to dip their hands in such a billion-dollar industry and pour those funds back into our own pockets where it matters the most. And so with COVID trashing our traditional way of raising funds, we had to do something. So what we did is a wonderful black-owned business, we went on ahead and plugged into the $240 billion adult social gaming potential all across the country. And, of course, that definitely made a place for the 501c3 to thrive, you know. So with that in mind, that's something we're able to do. And because of that, when we look at the idea of what matters to us is our nonprofit organizations, we don't have to lose them. We can keep them. We've already lost over 28% of them because of COVID. And now our community can now have a platform to give back to our nonprofit, so they're playing and they win cash and prizes and give back and enjoy. So we're trying to make something work out of it. We're finally able to do something about giving it back instead of just letting it eat off of us.
Tarjay, this is Janet. Can you hear me?
Hey, Janet.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Michael probably had to step away for a second. So I just wanted to ask, I noticed that you had information on that you shared with me about fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm quite sure a lot of people who have their kids in sports and things like that might want to utilize someone's the fundraising aspects of your company.
Absolutely. So, we have two types of people that we can help, which would be nonprofits and individuals. Nonprofits, we can help nonprofits raise anywhere from $38,000 to $69,000 annually through our infrastructure and our platform. And then individuals, I mean, mid to high six figures, depending your ability to want the social change as bad as the people that you have here on the call today. Myself and Vitae's being one of the celebrity host leaders or licensee with the company. And then as I transition from my role from Senior Vice President of Licensee Development, once I develop the licensees, I transition to national accounts and relationships, right? Because we are traveling to sports conferences all over the United States. We will be in cities all over the United States. I'll tap into that in a minute. But to answer your question, we can absolutely help anyone that is looking to make a change in the community or anyone who is already making a change in the community, and you guys are what we would consider a community hero. So thank you so much, any and every nonprofit nationwide or community-based organization.
Well, thank you. And I also noticed that through our communications, there were a couple of links that I didn't realize we were supposed to be putting on the flyer, but I will be sending something out shortly, right after the thing that you ladies are being able to send it over to you so that you can also post it on your...
That'll be great. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
We're reaching out to... What we're at right now, what we're doing is we're identifying at least 50,000 nonprofit organizations cross-country so that can assist funding an additional 10,000 low-economic nonprofit organizations. So everybody gets an opportunity to benefit from this platform. And as I said, once we now provide this platform for the nonprofit organizations, they can mm-hmm. now provide something as a platform, provide something so that the people in their community can donate to them by registering and becoming a part of their league and making sure that they have a consistent source of funding all year long and from here on out if they like. So, you know, with no money out of their own pocket, we're here to give the advantage back to the givers. We're here for you.
If
that's
you don't
awesome.
Mind, I'd like for you ladies to do me a quick favor so we'll know who we're hearing from, because I heard what V was saying. I didn't, I believe, was that Taja Ray?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Taja Ray, yeah.
Okay, cool. So if you don't mind, just when you go to speak, so our listeners know who is responding to the questions, if you don't mind, I really would appreciate that.
Absolutely, and I'll be much more talkative with you guys in about 10 minutes. I promise I have so much for you. But Vitae can
no
definitely
problem.
Take it for just a few.
No
Absolutely.
Problem. Now, we have the EACL. Explain to the listeners, what is UFL? What is the difference between, or what do they have in common?
Well, the UFL is the United Fundraising. It's Vitae speaking, by the way. It's Vitae speaking. And
mm-hmm.
as a licensee, I am with the Unified Fundraising League. Okay? We are
okay.
the ones that are the engine. And then we have EACL, which is the Esports Adult Competitors League, which is the platform we use in order for them, for the nonprofits to benefit from. It is a virtual gaming league. Okay, so we have CEO Michael Reddick, who created the platform, and we now have this amazing game called Ink Wars, where you get to go on ahead and, of course, connect ink colors and compete. People are competing, and while they're competing, they're enjoying themselves. There's like a $25 million cash pot. That's one of the biggest cash pots available to the Amateur Gaming League, and it's going to be available when we have our world competition in July in Las Vegas. So not only are you able as a nonprofit organization to benefit from the platform as you register, okay, because they get half the registration fee, but then you're also able to add money when you go and compete at our competition. So we're taking full advantage of this social adult gaming platform for the benefit of the community in every dynamic of how we do it with esports. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of esports leagues out there, but this is the only one giving back to the nonprofit. So that's what makes it so phenomenal. And coming together, Unified United Fundraising League, having our platform, EACL, man, like I said, that's the kind of thing that can make a difference, and it's modernizing how we do things so we don't have to be thrown off today or in times to come, because we get to tap into what everybody's taking advantage of anyway. And like I said, that's a benefit. That's a benefit I like. I really like that. I like giving back. I like finally taking the time to participate as business owners in our own community.
So let's say, for instance, I'm a gamer, okay, and I'm a computer freak. I have this idea of a game. In fact, I was talking to an individual who's a recording artist who's been a guest on the show, and we just clowning around. I said, you know, it'd be interesting if there was a game, because, as you know, there's millions of games out there with different scenarios, right? Unfortunately, there's too many games out there that are violent games, and those are the ones that fail, as we well know. You know, Call of Duty, there's so many of them. Call of Duty Vanguard, Call of Duty this, what is the other one? The one with the what is it called?
The zombie game.
Well, the zombie games, but the one with the cars, they have a volume 5 out now. It affects me. And I should know that by heart, because I sell it every day, the same games. Or selling every day.
What are you guys talking about? I'm back here. I'm back out. I'm in the house.
We're talking about the games out there and how your friend has
Hold on. We got like NBA 2K, League of Legends, Minecraft, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
All that.
But I'm talking about the gangster one. What is it called?
Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto. Okay, so they got all these games out here, but the majority of them, I mean, the ones that sell the most, I'm not going to say the majority of games out there, but those are the ones that really sell big, right? And, you know, they do have explicit stuff. Even when I ring it up, it asks me to verify that the buyer is of 18 years of age, right? And only three times I've had to ask a person for their ID. And some folks say, oh, man, you shouldn't ask that. It's a good game. I'm like, no, that's my responsibility, because if I sell it to a minor, he takes it home, his parents didn't approve of it, guess what? They can come back and get me fired, right?
Absolutely.
Because I did not follow protocol. I did not follow policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a lot of games out there that are not violent games. So let's say, for instance, a person comes up with an idea of a game and they need help as far as pushing it. Can you guys work with them in order to get them with maybe a developer, or he is a developer and needs to try to take the next step of getting their game out there?
Well, yeah, we have a team of developers, but we typically, that's not, so gaming is definitely, obviously, a big deal in terms of the gap in an industry that we found that we can utilize so that people can mm-hmm. start to see funds coming from that particular industry. So we found, so we're a coalition of individuals and nonprofits that came together as part of this adult social gaming movement. And over the past, let's say, 120 days, so everyone came together from all over the United States as part of this movement to help fund up to 50,000 nonprofits. That's the important part here. The important part is that we push power back to the heroes in our communities that are already doing something to help save our children, to help people who are not as fortunate, the elderly care, any type of nonprofit, helping pets, helping animals, you know, whatever the case is. So we found this gap in the nonprofit industry, especially the Black-led nonprofit industry, but we found these gaps. And then we see the gaming industry, $2.59 billion industry, that shot up when COVID came as the nonprofit number shot down due to lack of funds being able to be raised because of social distancing and things like that. So we're turning the social distancing into adult social gaming, where people can come to a safe, clean place, have fun, come together, win some prizes, but ultimately you're joining a league of people who want to do better in their community. So, yes, there are beautiful perks to it, and absolutely you will be able to win cash prizes every single month if you're a member of this league. But all we do is we invite people to be part of what we're doing to fund communities nationwide, and we're doing it through the gaming industry because what started as an a college project for our CEO visionary, his daughter went to college in the eighth grade. So that's the story of how this started. And she majored in quantitative finance with a concentration in applied mathematics. Now, with the concentration in the college project for the college entry project, they created an algorithm and an infrastructure that can house 250 million people at one time on a platform. So nobody in the world has it. We're the only people with it. And because we are the only people with it, and our CEO is an African-American minority who also, after he went to the NFL, became a coach, right, and didn't take him any time to start having to reach into his own pocket over and over and over to make sure that these kids in lower economic communities could play sports because they can play sports and be on the field or they can be out in the street, you know, and that was why this all started. So it was a college project that created the algorithm and the infrastructure, but that quickly evolved into a platform of adult social gaming where we can all come together, have fun, forget the Tinder dating app. That's over with because now you have an app of people that you can go to these live events. We'll be in 100 cities every 3 months. So we have quarterly LAN events. LAN events are local area network events. And we decided because we have nonprofits and individuals, social entrepreneurs across the nation, that we understand the need for funding, and also inclusive of that need for funding is the lack of ability to be able to just hop on a flight and go somewhere, right? So we want to be in 100 cities at one time on the same weekend so that none of our members, league members, have to travel more than 2 hours to get to an event. So we know that they won't have to purchase a flight, worst-case scenario, rental, borrow your friend's car, your mom's, invite everybody to go with you, and go have a fun weekend where we can highlight community heroes, nonprofits. We can win real-world prizes. So we have weekend getaways. We have concert tickets, movie tickets, dinners for two. And we might have a dinner for two at Morton, right? That'll be like the elite prize. And then we might have a boatload of dinner for twos at Applebee's. But even a dinner for two in the world we live in with a pandemic is expensive. And sometimes you have to skip a bill just to go to dinner, let alone take a vacation. Because when I was little, we took vacation. They saved all year, and we didn't go to Disney World or anything like that. We went to, like, Wisconsin Dells, right, or something super affordable. But that's where we came from. So we already understand that there is a need to give back. People can't afford to do it because if you think about taking $20 into a nonprofit organization, it's not going to do much. It may get, like, two kids McDonald's one day, right, or something. But it's not going to make an effect like you would want it to make, so most people just wouldn't do it. Well, here, 20 is plenty. Right? So for $20 a month, you can join a league become a member of a league, a coalition of nonprofits and individuals that want to make social change. And in that league of people that are great, right, we don't have to swipe on Tinder. Now we can just go to an event, and we'll get to play against each other. You'll be playing against somebody random, right, and then we'll all go to the mix, and then we'll have the nonprofit gala. This is what those events are going to look like. We're making being a social entrepreneur cool. We're making giving back the new thing to do. And we're doing it through the industry that's not making – nobody's making money off this industry but the industry. So we're taking that. Mm-hmm. We're taking the large $25 million-plus line of credit that we have, and we'll make that announcement here, and then we'll make that announcement in Vegas because it's probably going to be a little bigger than that. But every month, 25,000 people could have a chance to win $1,000 cash playing an app on your phone that you already spent $20 for Candy Crush or – chess, pool, or Angry Birds because you ran out of lives, right? And you just wanted to get to the next level because I just need my dopamine really quick. I just want a little bit of adrenaline, please. So then it pops up on the screen and it says, hey, pay 99 cents. We'll get you to the next level. And you do it over and over and over, and you don't get anything for it. So here's a way to come join a great, cool league of cool people that we get to be social, bring generations back together because we have young and old, right? You can be 25 to 80 years old or 80 plus to be a part of adult social gaming. This is not for the kids. Neither are the prizes. But the kids will play for free on our competitive recreational side, which rings your doorbell back because we do have 20 leagues that will be playing at a time on that side. We decided let's help 50,000 nonprofits first so they can make noise about adult social gaming. And then when we launch our EACL Global, which we are already in China, India, we were in Russia, that's over with, Indonesia and Latin America. So China, India, Indonesia, Russia, and Latin America. We don't have Russia anymore. They're out. So that's what we have. We're already a global entity, but until we can do something that's giving back, we don't care about the competitive gaming side. Sorry, gamers on the call. We don't. We care about helping nonprofits. Now, there's going to be a line of credit for that as well. Speaking on things that are going to happen in the future, like crypto and other things that we already own, this is how we create a new subculture of giving back and have fun while we're doing it, while being in a safe space where we can take our children, our pastors, we can take our doctors. You should see some of the elite people that we have in this company already, community leaders, literally. And you can not worry about a violent game that's going to be shooting each other. And, you know, we have domestic violence nonprofits. We have all type of nonprofits, and we don't want to offend anyone. So we do have this app on your phone. We're going to go ahead and give everybody here a heads up because you got to be a league member to win cash or prizes on this app. So you can download it and quick play all day. But until you join this adult social gaming league, you will never win a thing for playing that game. But it's called Ink Wars Bubble Arena. Right. It's on your phone, just like Candy Crush.
But you know what I like? What I like what you said was where you brought up the thing is that where, you know, when you're on social media pages like a Facebook and this and the other, and they have these games, right? And they get you, and I'm guilty of it. They get you start playing these games, you know, the birds and everything, and then in order to get to the next level, you got to pay an extra this, and that, and the other, you know. They draw you in, right? So you're saying that if that would not be happening on these apps that you're, telling us about it.
Can
you
buy it? Like, are you asking, like, can you buy points, like, to get to, like, another level and things like that?
Well, I'm saying that where you said that. I'm sorry. I think B. Faze was trying to chime in. What you have to say, B?
Go ahead.
What that's saying is I'm a victim to that, too. Now, I know after I looked up, I know I spent, like, maybe $1,000 on the decoration game because they was getting me and I was enjoying myself a little too much. A little shameful. I was doing what I know. It was COVID. But instead of all that money going to the industry, now a portion of that goes to the nonprofit organization.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because at that point,
right.
As you register to play with us, you go on ahead and you pay your $20 a month to be a part of this league. But at that point, we ain't asking for any more from you besides that, the $20 a month all year long. And at that point, that money, half of that goes to the nonprofit organization. And then you're there as a instead of Candy Crush, we got our own game, Ink Wars. You're playing that game. Now you're competing. if we give you that professional esports experience on an amateur level, now you get to play 25,000 times to do it. You know what I'm saying? And you get the rush of enjoying yourself.
So here's my question. Here's my question now. With what Taja was saying, how it works. But now going back to your Facebook games and the other social media games, what made me turn away from it is that every time I play around on a game, next thing I know, here's an advertisement that wants me to play another game, right? And I have to wait until that advertisement goes through and then X that out to go back to the game that I'm playing. You ever experienced that? I'm pretty sure you have. So is that the same thing? Are you going to have those type of advertisements that are going to pop up?
Well, we have advertisements. I don't know a billion-dollar company who does not have an advertisement. I don't know that. So I don't know that we can have advertisements.
But while I'm playing the game, you know, and I just go through one round, and all of a sudden that game is interrupted, and now you're advertising after one round.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
We won't be doing any of that. Now, I was going to say, would it pop up and ask if you wanted to purchase some coins or something? Absolutely. I told you we own our own crypto, so I'm sure it will give you guys opportunities to do that. But, this is not something that we're doing to take the attention off of us by any means necessary. This is all eyes on EACL UFL, and then just to be clear and to just to correct that, EACL is Esports Amateur Competitors League. That's what that is, and that is our parent company. UFL, United Fundraising League, that is our product. So we are the parent company. The product is the commercial licensed, bonded, insured fundraiser in 50 states. So we're expanding the ability to be able to raise funds as well. You might have a family member in New York, and you're a 501c3 and Utah, right, or something. You can't go to New York and raise funds for your nonprofit. Through us, you can. So, and it's all pandemic-proof.
Okay.
It's a pandemic-proof solution, and all we're doing is promoting a culture of giving back, and then we're making it look cool. Like, that's it. It's like playing spades or bingo, right? You do all this for all these other people to be able to come together. Older crowds come play bingo. They come together so that they can win, right? So this time, you're doing it for your community. It's just on a larger scale. And that's why I like this system, because I don't have to choose who I'm raising money for. The point is, we're coming together. You know, our goal is to help 50,000 nonprofit organizations, but it's all about the ecosystem. And the ecosystem kicks in where for every 5 better situated nonprofits, we help raise up to $38,000. We will then fund one lower economic community nonprofit at $69,000. So it is a pay it forward situation. And just by joining our fundraiser, you're paying it forward, because for every 5 of you that we help raise 38, we can then fund one lower economic community nonprofit that not only doesn't have a donor base, but their own family doesn't even support them. They did when they started the nonprofit. They said, hey, baby, come on in. You know, we'll help you, until they had their first event and nobody showed up. And then you're doing things
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt for just a second. I'm hearing some glitching noise in the background. If you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute. Whoever's not speaking, put yourself on mute if you're not speaking, because there's some glitching noise in the background. And it definitely will help for the quality of the show. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And so also I want to let you guys know, I'm looking at the board, and it is full. There's callers here, and they probably don't know the procedure, so I'm going to go ahead and let you know. If you have any questions or comments for our guests, hit the number 1. Again, keep the noise to 0 in the background if you have any questions or comments. If you're listening on the Internet, the chat room is open, so you could post your questions or comments if you're radio shy, and I will read them on the air, okay? So I just went ahead and made sure that everybody understands that. Hit the number 1 on your phone if you're ready to speak. I'll see that you're waving. And I'm pretty sure there's quite a few folks. In fact, there's quite a few folks here listening. I don't know why everybody's so afraid to talk. But, but that's fine that they're here, because they're listening and they're getting the great some great information from you ladies. I want to go back to my co-host.
Can I really quick shout out to the elite social entrepreneurs that are listening on the call? Mm-hmm. We have a huge team of very supportive people, and I'm quite sure they're probably in here as well. So I appreciate you guys. We have been building for a year and a half. So they've been outside for free. Nobody's getting paid here. We're outside. We're going out to look for coaches on fields. We're going out in community centers and churches. And we're just identifying with nonprofits and individuals, because this is where the shifting of the conversation is going to go. So I'm going to let you have the floor back, and then we're going to stop talking about nonprofits for a second, start talking about the fun part, the adult social gaming. Okay? Go ahead.
Go team! Go team!
Well, okay. I agree with you on that one, since you're going to say that. I agree with you. I would love for folks that are here on the board, though, to actually chime in. Let me know. Let our listeners know. You know, if you're part of the organization, share, you know, your experience with it, help promote it. It's fantastic. I'm going to go back to Janet Davis, my co-host here. Janet, do you have any more questions regarding what we just spoke about?
Well, yes. I know you met one of you ladies, I think it was Tajay, mentioned like playing spades.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's online spades that you can all, you can not only play online spades, but also raise funds, money doing it?
Yeah, so that great. Thank you for that. I kind of got cut off when I was saying that, so I didn't really get to finish what I was saying. But what I was saying was it's like playing spades or bingo, right? So you're doing all – if you're holding a bingo event or whatever, if you have Tuesday night bingo, whoever holds that event, right, they're holding the event so other individuals can come there, come together, have a little social time, and win cash or prizes or whatever. It's the same thing that we're doing here with Ink Wars, except we're doing it to help the entire community, not 200 or 50 people who showed up that night. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's legal, right? It's legal. It's not gambling. It's not a game of chance, because everybody has a chance to win. Everybody can win. It's not a chance. I'm sorry. Everybody can win by just participating. You join the league. You play a game. When you guys play your rounds against each other, whether you win or lose, you still get points. And these points accrue toward the real-world prizes and the chances to play for those prizes, right? And those prizes, only way you can win the prizes is at the live event, right? Because the cash prizes, those are every month. That's every month in and out. Everybody who wins, they'll have the chance to win those $1,000 every single month. There might be some prizes on a smaller level as well, but those are the main prizes that we talk about, right? Because those are the ones that could financially keep somebody in their home that month. Or financially pay for grandma's medicine that we can't afford and they won't give it to us. So these are the things that we think about. We think about funding opportunities to save your family, okay? So it's when we talk about gaming or any of that in the social aspect, it's absolutely important. I'm a social butterfly, so I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'll talk all day about this. So that is fun, but the reality is there is a gap in an industry of people that are already saving lives. There's a gap in an industry that everybody's using right now because they're trying so hard to get esports in the 2024 Olympics. So hard. It's so close. So by 2026 or 28, I don't know how often they do the Olympics, but esports will eventually be in the Olympics, right? That is a huge thing. It's not going anywhere. You guys see the sports conferences everywhere. I've traveled to about 7 different states last year. I went to sports conferences. We met with the cities that want us to come to them. Right, so check us out. We'll be in a city near you guys, absolutely. We won't be 2 hours away from anybody in the United States by October 28th to the 30th. That'll be the first weekend. We'll be in 100 cities. But July 18th to the 24th, anybody who joins as a league member of Adult Social Gaming is invited to Vegas, July 18th to the 24th. We'll be there for a week. We'll have concerts, entertainment. Any creative, you brought up creative, any artists, producers that want to be on a platform where thousands of people will be able to hear their music and rate their music and get points or crypto to rate their music, right? They'll be able to go in the app and they'll be able to just swipe through songs. And then they can rate our artists. Our artists will be able to perform at those events. And we pay, you know, our artists, our nonprofits and individuals. Who's a business owner? Do you sell candles? Do you sell T-shirts? What do you do? Are you a coach? What do you guys do to fundraise? You sell cookies and popcorn? Cool. Bring them to Adult Social Gaming. Come to your event. And if you're a league member before May 1st, you'll actually, for this year, be able to set up your vendor booth at our event for absolutely free. and you will be able to sell whatever you sell at the vendor booth, whether it be credit repair, consultation, and you will be able to keep 100% of whatever you make, because that's what we want to do. We want to create entrepreneurial opportunities. We want to fund lower economic communities, and we want to create higher paying jobs. That's what we're here
to
do.
So is how much does it cost to join, and is there a monthly membership fee afterwards?
Absolutely. It's $240. So $20 a month. So $240 for the year. You pay $240. You give back to a nonprofit. 50% goes to the nonprofit right away. And you guys don't have to choose what nonprofit, because we help all of them. We have senior care. We have after-school programs, youth sports, churches. We have so many pastors I can't even count. I can call 100 people a day and get 100 prayers a day if I need to. Like, we have pastors out the wazoo, and I love every one of them. Shout out to Pastor Williams. But we absolutely help all nonprofits. So you can join a league and know that 50% of your league fees are going to go back to a nonprofit. You'll probably get a little card or something in the mail saying, hey, this is a nonprofit you gave back to. Thank you so much, right? And you'll be able to come play. So it's $20 a month. And right now, if you get in before May 1st, we do have a $40 installment option, and this is only this year. Everything's going to cost after this year, guys. So nonprofits, we can help at no out-of-pocket cost right now. Individuals that are social entrepreneurs that want to make change, no out-of-pocket cost right now. And that $40 installment would leave you with 10 payments of $20 a month, and those payments don't even start until July, because that's when our actual year starts. We're from July to July every year, because every year in July, we all hang out together.
Right, so I want to quickly hold on for a minute, everybody. Hold on, everybody, for a moment. I quickly want to go to the chat room. I see Valerie Aiken, I believe, is the last name. This is a new fundraising stream of income to the nonprofit. Join in to give back and game on. Okay, so Val, okay, go ahead, ladies.
I love it. So Digital Val, she is a social entrepreneur, actually, with our company, and she does taxes since 2005. She does crypto, and she also has been playing Ink Wars for 5 years. You know, Ink Wars has been around. We just bought the title to it, or we're buying the title to it so we can own that game. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, Lance.
Can I say that I love that Tarja Gray said that for nonprofits, it costs you nothing. Right now, as a licensee, I'm the one out there with a team of us out there looking for the nonprofits to put in place. That's the biggest part. And it doesn't cost them anything, not a penny, at least this year. At this grand opening experience, that's the best deal going, okay? So that's the most important thing. We're out here paving the pavements, making the calls, reaching out to our nonprofits, because we want them to win. And that's what I meant when I said we want to finally give the advantage to the givers, the basketball coach, the nonprofit giving away food, the church raising money. Any 501c3 out there at this point, okay, up until May, we are helping you guys get in to benefit from this with no cost to you.
Okay. Now, with that being said, I want to go ahead and open up the mics. I have another one of my co-hosts who's been sitting back in the cut, listening from California, the one and only Mr. Time and Ship is here, and also the host of a great show on the JQ Network, Makisha Bess, is sitting back and listening. Time out, open up your mic. Welcome back, co-host. You have any questions or comments on the conversation?
I just came in on it because I was on the road. So I just came in, and I noticed the women. But, you know, I'm always for anybody that's out there trying to help others get themselves together. So, you know, congratulations to the ladies and out there working to help you guys get their businesses started and everything.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, we've been out here. It comes with not counting the cost. When you count the cost for something, like, what is it going to take to really make a change in the world? It becomes too expensive because it's a lot. I don't worry. All my social entrepreneurs are wore out, and we're still going because we know that in order to make a movement, you know, any visionary can come up with an idea, but a movement, that comes from a community of people,
right?
A coalition of people that are just saying, hey, you know what, forget it. let's not worry about money for once so that we can funnel it back to our communities and help in a lot of ways. That's it.
Right. That's what it's all about, for a change. For a change. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about.
Interesting. Let me see here. Looking at the chat room. Oh, also, Valerie said, join in to give back and game on. Ink Wars, non-violent. Interesting. Okay.
Absolutely. Not violent at all. Quite fun, actually. But if you guys do download that to play it and you're listening in, click on Quick Play, because don't create an account because you're going to be playing against yourself, and that's no fun. So click Quick Play so you can learn how to play the game. Be sure, and I'm going to shout this email out. I know he's going to put it on the call, but it's adultsocialgaming@eaclglobal.com. Make sure you say you came from the podcast so we know where to redirect you back to Queen Vitae and myself, and we'll make sure that we get you guys signed up as league members quick. Like I said, $240 is a small price to pay during tax time, but you can make a change in a community and become part of something that's going to save you money and possibly win you some at the same time.
Okay. I like how you said possibly, you know, I mean, but you're doing it for a good cause. And
yeah,
that's the
most important.
You got to
thing.
Participate. You got to play first.
Important.
So that's why I say possibly. Absolutely. And then it's, you know, skill sets, right? So you think about the number of gamers. So we got the statistics that I love, 324 million Americans. 244 million of those Americans are gamers. 10 to 25% are the only percentage that consider themselves gamers. So let's use a small percentage. We got 10% out of 244 million that actually would consider themselves being able to play in a league or a tournament to win. Because when you think about the elite of the elite gamers, not who we're looking for. We're looking for grandmas, moms, judges, police officers, librarians that are consistently crushing candy, right? On their downtime,
yeah.
We're looking for those people because anybody can win here. It's a skill set. You're not going to be playing against an expert if you're a beginner. It just, you can only win at one level one time, and then you're moved to the next level.
So there will be like tournaments at times, right? Like a playoff type thing.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to have 12 bracket monthly micro events online. Every month there will be the same schedule that we'll have for everyone. And then you got the membership benefits to go over as well. But the schedule, so throughout the month, there will be cash prizes being won. And then every 3 months, so in October, January, and April of every year, we're going to be at our quarterly LAN events. Our region June, and then in July every year, we're going to have the EACL USL World Games. So make sure you guys coach that commercial link with this video so
that
you can check that out. But that's going to be big boy. That's
playoffs?
You guys
can talk about prices. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Look, the league.
That's right. Playoffs.
Okay. If you're talking about playoffs, okay. All right. Now, see, you got my interest, so then it's not like just a one and done. You go through the whole, you know, thing as far as like a pair. And it's a competition for a good reason. Again, share with our listeners how they can get more information about this. In fact, I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and switch gears for a moment because I see hands are raising. And I see 346274. I believe that's another co-host chiming in, and I'm going to open up their mic. I believe that's Cotton, K.C. Kimball.
It is Cotton, K.C. Kimball. I can't do it like
all
you,
right.
Michael, but I was close enough. Hey, everybody, how are you?
Great.
You have a question or comment?
Did I miss the best part?
Yes, you did. You waved your hand. And you didn't have a question or comment? Okay. I'm going to forgive you on that.
I'm sorry.
I know
you
didn't put a ticket on it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I see you on the board. Okay. And by the way, just to let you guys know who are listening, coming up shortly, we're going to get into our second part of the show, second hour. We are going to talk about the slap heard around the world. And I know that has been a topic that has been going on for days and days on every show. But right now we are talking to our guest, which is DJ's Story Williams and Taja Ray Bernie about the EACL and what they can do for you. I mean, this is very interesting. And they're going to share more information on how you can contact them. And I'm going to definitely look into it more and get involved. It sounds very interesting. I think that we need to always support nonprofits. We need to support our communities. And seeing that this will support our communities, we need to really do our research and follow up on this. Right? That's what we try to do,
absolutely,
is share this type of information,
absolutely,
that you don't get from, I mean, you don't get this information from your everyday news and not from, you know, your Facebook pages and all that type of stuff. You only get it from folks who actually want to share it, and that would be us, the TMGS. Again, please share. Our listeners can get in touch with you and get involved with this movement.
Absolutely. You can definitely sign up at https://vzenoc4.bootloop.com/fundraiser-with-EACL?AITRK=18152. It sounds a little far, but once you log in there, you can sign up and we will contact you and get you in place as a nonprofit organization. Taja Ray, are you still there?
I believe she's still here on the board. Yeah, she's still here on the board.
Hold on just a second.
Taja, are you still there?
Hold on, Jeff.
Yes, I am so sorry. Multitasking today,
no,
guys. So, I need to get to a quiet location.
Okay. We were looking for a usl.gg and how to have everyone have a chance to get in contact with everyone to the ACL. You have the email address for that, Taja Ray?
Yeah, well, yeah, our standard email, like I was saying earlier, is adultsocialgaming@eaclglobal.com. So E as in Edward, A as in Apple, C as in Cat, L as in Larry, global.com. adultsocialgaming@eaclglobal.com. And just let us know you came from the podcast. We'll definitely let you guys know, you know, those numbers and what that looks like. But we are here to help any and everyone. This isn't anything that we can sell because it pretty much sells itself, but it's a chance to come together and be part of something greater than we are. It's a chance to make a social change and to be, it doesn't matter, like I'm 34 years old, guys. One of my best friends in this company, Joe McKenzie, is 84. So there's a difference in age, right? But we have a common ground, and we sit on that ground every single day with each other on the phone, and we think of ways that we can help on a larger scale. So thank you so much for having us on your podcast today. You guys, I'm open to be on podcasts nationwide. So VTAs, if you have more, just keep them coming. Like, we need to spread this movement. It needs to be talked about because people aren't hearing us, and they're not hearing us because our communities are damaged. And there is a systematic setup here that we don't realize that is affecting us on a day-to-day basis. So we need to make sure that we break the cycle of where we came from and then make a community of unity where we're headed.
Amen.
Fantastic.
Right.
So, yeah, my bad. AdultSocialGaming@EACLglobal.com. If you guys have any more questions for me while I'm on the call, because I am going to go ahead and have to hop up. I have another meeting I have to get to. But I am so excited to be on this show. If you ever want us back, please holler at your girl. And I will hop on.
Well, we're going to invite you ladies back because we always want to. One thing about us is that we always follow up. We don't just, you know, drop you off at the bridge and never, you know, that's not us. We always keep, you know, good contact with our guests. And fortunately, we've been blessed to have our guests return. Next week, we have a guest who's returning for the third time. So that's a blessing that we keep the connection and the openness there, you know what I mean, to always update our listeners of what's going on. So with that being said, anybody else have any questions or comments before we go? to our guests, which is Vitae, Shirley Williams, and Taja Ray Burney. Any more questions for our guests?
Got that background noise
again,
too.
Okay, yeah, background noise. Put yourself on mute, please. I'd hate to have to go through the board and find out who you are, because once I do that, then I'll mute you the rest of the show, because obviously you can't control your background noise. If you can't hear it, it must be you. So please put yourselves on mute if you're not speaking. Thank you. That's always been a rule.
Think...
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I just wanted to thank Taja for coming on and giving us this valuable information for not just playing games, but being able to have fun and make money. And, you know, as far as profit.
And a little change. Make a little change. I'm trying to make a little social change.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
You guys, well, thank you so much. Like I said, I'm going to have to hop off here. I know it's at the end, so I don't want to take your last 4 minutes, but this is Taja Ray. I'm signing off. I am the Senior Director of National Accounts and Relations with EACO, Esports Amateur Competitors League, and then we're rolling out our product, United Fundraising League, nationwide, so we can help social entrepreneurs and nonprofits. I love you guys to death. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
And I'm VP of Retail Storage Museum.
Hello?
Jeff.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Vitae Story Williams signing off, just here to serve as the United Fundraising League licensee. When you hear us calling and knocking on your doors to do what we can to help you, let us in, because we're here to help you make the difference, maintain the difference we so vitally need in our community. So thank you for giving us a chance to say something and be here for you.
All right. Hey, thank you. Hey, Taja Ray, Vitae. Thank both these ladies. Thank you so much for the great information. Let's put our hands together. Oh, yeah. Okay. You all got the information. I hope you wrote it down. But if you didn't write it down, okay, audience. That's enough. Okay. I said okay. Now stop. Okay. So, but if you didn't write it down, you know, all of our shows are archived, so you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, and they're archived, and pull it up on demand if you need to get, or if you need to hear more of the information and more of the knowledge that they shared. Just go back and listen to it. It's always there for you. Again, welcome to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, with my co-host, Janet Davis, also Cotton Campbell, and Time and Ship is here in the house. And for all of you that are here on the board, thank you for tuning in live. If you have any questions or comments, again, I invite you to hit the number one and share your question or comments. We're going to take a music break. And, oh, also in the chat room, Valerie Aiken, thank you for your post there during that conversation. We're going to take a quick break. And then what we're going to do, Janet, I don't know. I don't know if I should say this. I don't know.
Say it.
Say it. Okay. Okay. You can call it what you want to, but I think it was one of the worst scenes in Academy Award history. But it was funny, but it wasn't funny, okay? Because, as I said, it was the slap. Heard all around, round. The world. And it's still echoing.
Right.
After this music break, we'll come back, and we will talk about the slap that was heard all around the world. Here's Bill Summers and Summers Heat with Call It What You Want. We'll be right back.
Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back to the TMGS, The Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with my co-host Janet Davis, Timon Schiff, and Cotton Campbell with us today. Next week, our other co-host, Miss Denise L. Wilkerson, will be joining us. In fact, tomorrow evening, there's a big event going on in Atlantic City where they're going to honor some legendary artists, some amazing artists. Janet, you remember Lilo Thomas was here on the show. He's going to be honored. Miss Shirley Jones of the Jones Girls, she's going to be honored. She's been on the show. Just a whole lot of things that are going on tomorrow. Unfortunately, that honor was not happening today because Denise said she would have came to us live today from the event. But she's going to join us next week and give us a little recap of the event next Saturday. I'm hoping maybe I can get one of them to come back, the other two to come back on the show. But appreciate our guests that were on in the first hour. So now, why did I play You Can Call It What You Want by Bill Summers and Summer's Heat? And by the way, that was Cheryl Cooley for the shout out for the show, The Drop. Because everybody is calling this event, which I like to call the slap, 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 slap. Heard. Around the world. Let me open up all these microphones so everybody can chime in to their thoughts about the slap. Heard. Around. The world. This is the hottest topic of 2022 so far. I'm not going to share my thoughts as of yet because there's so many angles this can go. Was Will right for doing so? Was he wrong? Was it staged or was it not? You know, there's a lot of people saying different things. Janet, I want to go to you first and tell me what you think.
I feel it wasn't staged, and I also feel that he was wrong. There's a right way and a wrong way to go about doing things, and that was not the right way. I sit sometimes and watch Jada on her Red Table Talk, and they air out all their dirty laundry. You know, and then just because someone makes a joke about see you in G.I. Jane 2, you want to get up and slap a person? I think it was because of who that person was. If it had been a bigger person, like The Rock, or like you posted, Mike Tyson, he wouldn't have got up there and slapped that person. That's all I got to say.
Okay, let me go around the board. I'm going to go ahead and let Timon chime in. Timon, what was your thoughts? Was Will right or wrong? Is Timon there? He's still on the board. Okay, I guess he might have stepped away. Okay, so let me go to... Okay.
There I am.
Okay, yes, I hear you. Just quickly, I'm going to let everybody. Mm-hmm. Was he right or wrong?
I looked at it, Mike. Mm-hmm. He was wrong. I looked at it from a comedian standpoint also, that when you do a corporate room, which that is corporate, black tie, you look at age and ethnicity and everybody in the room, and also look at Hollywood is very sensitive. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you talk about people, you got to, you know, there's a way to do and be funny, but nowadays comedy is talking about people, and they talk about you under your drawers, or they say something about you, and people are very, very sensitive. So also know that that joke that he did was not part of the list that he said he was going to do. Pull that right out of the air. And Will Packer talked about that. Now, Will going up putting hands on him, bruh, you know this is one of the biggest shows of the year, and you deciding in your mind, you talk about all this love, and you're talking about, oh, and we do all of this, and I'm this guy, and being a man, and all this crap. All that shit went out the window when you walked up there and slapped that man across his face. Also, you have the black thing. Also, you also have the fact, Mike, that Quest, he slapped that dude right before Questlove was supposed to receive his award.
Right.
Right before. And so here it is. Now everybody's got to gain their composure, get back on track, because they're still trying to process what the hell just happened. And now, oh, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the best documentary of the year is Questlove.
Mm-hmm.
But you stole his moment. But I also, yeah, it was wrong for him to put hands on him. And I believe Jada is behind the whole damn thing.
Okay.
Because they
I want to comment on that, but I'm going to hold my comment until I get everybody's point of view. I'm going to go ahead to Cotton Casey Campbell. Cotton, what are your thoughts?
I don't think there's a right or wrong in this. Because at the end of the day, he's protecting his wife. No matter how anybody in the room might feel about that, that's between him and his wife. How he protects her is his decision, not yours, not mine, not hers, not nobody else's. You can't tell me when and how, in a moment that I feel like my wife or my husband is being disrespected, that I should, let me just hold my composure and wait till later. My mom used to tell me, if you act up in public, you're going to get disrespected in public and get checked in public. You disrespect me in public, you're going to get disrespected in public. I don't care about the award show. I don't care about an award. I don't care about none of it. Right? And this time,
okay,
I'm going to check you because that's my wife, that's my husband, whatever the situation is. So I'm seeing slapping again. That's how I feel.
Okay.
Because that wasn't part of what she was supposed to say, and you should have stayed on track. This is not a comedy show. This is an award show.
Okay, so hold tight for a moment. I'm hearing noise in the background. I guess it's a radio or television. If you can, delete that for me, please, because your voice is a little muffled. But I heard you. But, no, I think it was coming from Cotton's end, and she took care of that because her voice was sounding a little muffled. But I heard clearly what you said. Okay, and that's your point of view. And you're everybody's allowed to their point of view. Today I was listening to another show. I joined in, and there were so many people. I've heard so many responses to this situation. And each and every one of you have pointed out some very, and understandable points. Even Cotton being different than what your responses are. Yes, as a man, you want to protect your wife. You want to defend her against anything. But you have to look at the key things about this whole situation. The key things are this, is that this is the Academy Awards, one of the worst viewerships or viewing shows on television. People tune into the Grammys because what is it? It's a music show. You're going to see performers perform live. You're not going to see actors act out, characters on stage. You're going to hear the theme songs. The most music you're going to get from an Academy Award is the theme songs of movies you haven't even fucking looked at. Excuse my language, but that's the truth. Never watched. So now when you look at the list of hosts for the Academy Awards, and I'm glad that Timon is here because he is a comedian and an actor and a writer. And I'll get into that. The thing is that where the comic community is really backing Chris Rock because this is what they do. Now, if you look at the list of – and go back and look at the list of hosts for the Academy Awards, do you know the majority of them have been individuals who have been comedians or play characters in movies and so forth? So as a public figure and a celebrity, you have to understand that you are taking the risk of being the butt of joke. And I'm almost done, but I'm going to explain a few things here. I'm pretty sure many comedians right now are like, well, shit, I got to be careful what the hell I say. If a Will Smith can walk up on stage on television live worldwide now and smack another millionaire, one millionaire smacks another millionaire for a joke, because I'm sure tonight there's a comedian somewhere that's going to tell a fat joke, and nobody's going to walk up on stage and slap the shit out of them. I've never heard that story before. Now, let's back up here. Those two, meaning the Smith, Jada, and Will, have plastered their private lives throughout the media.
Mm-hmm.
She has a show mm-hmm. called Red Table. They have gone mm-hmm. on there, and their infidelity, their open relationship, mm-hmm. they put that out there in the public. I'm sure there's many of superstars out there where we find out later that there was something they were doing that they hid from the public, because a lot of celebrities are good at that, right? But they put mm-hmm. their shit out there. She has a show. She started it on Facebook. Their whole family is part of it. Okay? Willow, Jaden, everybody is part mm-hmm. of it. So that's the risk that you take as a celebrity, and you allow people and you tell people about your situation. Now, no disrespect towards Jada for doing so, but you put your personal life out there on a regular basis, expect someone to make a joke about it. I don't care. Someone tried to say, well, no, his job was just to go up there and just give the award. He's a freaking comedian. His job is to make people laugh. They have him there to make people laugh. They didn't ask Chris Rock to come there and just be like monotone. They wanted him to joke. And we don't know who wrote that joke. But fail to understand is not every comedian writes every joke. Paul Mooney wrote thousands of jokes for Richard Pryor.
Okay. But he was freestyling. So... and they made that clear. That was not what they wrote and told him to say. He was freestyling in that moment. So that's totally off the cuff. It's totally off the cuff.
Okay, well, okay. And again, I'm not defending Chris, per se. I'm not defending Chris for telling the joke. But that is his job. If it was in poor taste, then it was in poor taste. I will say that. But to get into a violent situation, two black millionaires in a room, you know what it made me think about? It made me think about the movie Django, of where the two black bucks are fighting each other to the death. Now, I know you probably say, how can you put that all together, Michael? Because it was entertainment for the white room. Because you know at every Academy Award, there's majority white folks there. And here's Will Smith, who really started out as a comedian. Did you all think about that? Will Smith was really a comedian. How? Through his music. Parents mm-hmm. just don't understand. Nightmare on My Street. He was not a hardcore rapper. He was a crossover, hip hop, fun loving. You know. In fact, everything he did, he wasn't hardcore. You never expected that from a Will Smith. Now, had that been someone like a T.I. or something, be like, well, shit, I expected T.I. to go up there and smack the shit out of him, but not a Will Smith, an international movie star who went from just a rapper to a sitcom comedian, which that's what the show was, a comedy show, a black comedy show that showed black folks that lived in an upper lifestyle but still, you had those. They still had to play the stupid ass character. You think about it. Hillary was dumb as hell. I think that was her name. Carlton was the one who was like, you know, so whatever. But that was the whole thing. You understand it? And Will was the centerpiece of the whole thing. It was comedy. But when a comedian right. makes a joke about hair, and the ironic thing to me is that Chris Rock did a movie called Good Hair. Who would have thought?
All the reason why he shouldn't be saying anything, because you talk to women about their hair and how sensitive that situation is. Why would you even make that statement at the end of the day?
Hold on a minute. I'm gonna let you answer. But what is the problem that she has? It's called alopecia, right?
Alopecia.
Okay. Is it life threatening?
No.
Okay. Now, hold on. I'm almost done, and then I'm going to let you guys respond. But obesity can be, right? But like I said before, comics talk about fat people all the time and never seen anybody jump up and smack anybody. Alopecia is not life-threatening. It's a joke, okay? And then I was listening to a show earlier, which I chimed in, and one individual said, you know what? I'd rather have a bald-head woman than a woman with a fake-ass piece of hair on her head. Isn't that an interesting response? I do. Me personally, I find that when I see a woman, and the thing is, let's understand this. Jada is not bald. She's shaved. She still has hair. It's just shaved. She's not bald. Her hair's not shiny. It's shaved. So the appearance is not what people visualize.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay? Let's look at what it really is. Go ahead, Timon.
What I was going to say is, she looked good.
Yeah, thank you.
Girl is fine.
Thank you.
She
still looks good.
Her daughter looked good. And wait a minute, G.I. Jane, she looked good when Demi Moore cut her hair off. Man wasn't paying attention to no bald-headed woman.
Thank you.
They were paying attention to people looking good and doing them push-ups.
Thank you, my brother.
They weren't paying attention to the state of Pinkett is a gorgeous woman in her
50s. She is. I'm sorry, someone got noise in the background. I don't want to go through the door to mute you, but please, mute yourself right now. I don't want to go through the board. Thank you. Thank you, Tommy. She still is a gorgeous woman, even though she's had some Botox or whatever done. Okay?
She's
still a beautiful woman.
I'm not buying it, okay? Bruh, you walked up on stage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got your award right before you slapped him right before Questlove was about to receive his award.
Well, yeah,
so
right. And then here's another thing.
Up.
Right, but here's another thing. I read an article that said there were so many other historical things, not just Questlove, other individuals who were getting awards. And also, this was the first Oscars that had such a large group of technical individuals working on that show.
All
African American.
All
black.
First all black production
show.
Team.
Mm-hmm. That has been just wiped away due to this one thing. I have to look, and the thing is I'm looking at the board now, and I'm seeing, oh, wow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hands up. And I want to go ahead and open up these mics. And so before I do so, you're welcome to chime in, share your comment or question, which I'm pretty sure all of you have a comment. Make sure you have no noise in the background. Otherwise, I will mute you and move on to the next one for the quality of the show. And I'm going to open up 702-340. Welcome to the show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
sorry I'm late. It's Eric up in Vegas. You know, John Muir High School.
Eric Kimbrough.
Your buddy.
my high school homie. What's up, my brother?
Doing all right. Sorry I'm late. If I cover something you guys covered, I apologize. Just say, hey, we talked about that already. I'll try to be quick, two things. Everybody may not be as old as me and you. People may not have seen G.I. Jane or the commentary around it. Maybe it wasn't the best movie, but the only commentary about Demi Moore when she did that was, you know, it was all positive, how brave she was, how she, you know, she cut her hair for the role, how, you know, she looked good in that thing. You know, the way she looked, it wasn't like, oh, my gosh, she was a horrible-looking lady. So,
thank you.
You know, people are upset because they made a G.I. Jane joke. But you go to a comedy show, somebody's like really, you know, buff up in the front row, and the comedian goes, hey, can't wait to see you in the next Terminator movie. Dude's not going to run up there and slap him because it's not a vile comment. And if Chris Rock wanted to be vile, I mean, he could have just jumped off with, hey, Will, after you win the Oscar, where do I get in line for one of them entanglement tickets? I mean, he could have been vile because they put so much of this stuff out there in the world. So I don't see how people jump up and say, this is so evil, because, I mean, if you've ever been to an Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor show, I mean, you were peeled. If they got a hold of you were, like, destroyed. And nobody went up there. And I tell you what, if that was, like, Bernie Mac or Dave Chappelle, he wouldn't have went up there and done it. And you know,
thank you.
Even though we weren't from, like, Compton and all that with the Bloods, and Chris, we had them in our school, you walk into somebody and turn your back on them because you know they're not going to do anything. That was anybody else, you turn your back, you about dead. So, I mean, I just think it's an overreaction because
they wouldn't have done that. You guys keep saying that, but they wouldn't have done that. So you can't
go back to Richard Pryor.
Bernie Mac would never have done that.
Hold on a minute.
Eddie Murphy. They
wouldn't have done that.
Cotton, I will let you respond.
I'm just saying, it wasn't so bad. It could have been like a compliment as saying, hey, you shaved your head and you look good. You could be in the next G.I. Jane movie. Nobody looks at it that way. Maybe that's what he was getting at. Because after he said, he goes, hey, that wasn't bad. You know, he almost like asked the audience, that wasn't that bad. Because you compared all the stuff he could have said. But I just think, you know, and it's just my opinion. I'm just one small guy out here. Not neither right nor wrong. My opinion.
But Eric, I appreciate you calling it and sharing that, because here's the thing I want to go back to. Also, don't forget the fact that Will laughed at the joke. It's on video. He laughed at the joke. He even clapped his hands until he saw the expression on her face.
That's right.
He was okay. So hold on. So come on now. Let's be realistic.
She did a TikTok video.
At that moment in time, but at that moment, what I'm saying, at that moment in time, when he told the joke, and there's no editing to this shit, okay? Let's be real here. Will was laughing his ass off, clapping his hands, and then he looked over. They showed where they zoomed in on her, and she had a look on her face like, okay. And then afterwards, she did not defend Will or Chris. She made a comment that she's not offended about ball jokes. Well, if you're not offended about ball jokes, how come your husband went up on stage and slapped the shit out of the host?
Right. And back in December, she was on TikTok and she said, I don't care what people say about my head. You know, she has a TikTok video out there saying she didn't care. So where we grew up in
California,
women didn't want their men to go fight. Mike, when we were in high school, some come up, the women be up there, hey, you know, they be trying to calm the dudes down. We weren't a group of folks that the women's like, yeah, I want to see my guy beat this guy up. They wanted to protect us and keep us from doing stupid things. So also that's why maybe the way we grew up, I see it different, because all the good women that we knew, they didn't want the guys fighting.
Exactly.
So anyway,
you know,
like
so let me
small
go
guys,
move
small
down the bed. I'm sorry, Eric, but I have to go through the board, you know, because it's 7:20.
Okay, all right,
but please stay with us because I want you to chime in as we go through the list here, because there's a lot of hands that are waved, and I want to go ahead and give everybody the opportunity to speak. 816-915, your mic is open. Where are you calling? What is your name and where are you calling from, and what's your comment?
816-915 going once. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Speak up a little bit more. Yep. There you go.
This is you.
What's your name?
This is Lady Justice. This is Lady Justice in Kansas City.
Lady J, what's up, my sister?
What's going on, y'all?
Well, you know what's going on. We're talking about the slap heard around the world. What's your opinion?
I caught a little bit, and I had a conversation with my daughters. The oldest is 26, and then I talked to my 24-year-old. Now, they're more people and celebrity savvy than me, and they came at a different direction. And their direction was when Chris said about the G.I. Jane 2, maybe it was going more toward the fact that they said that G.I. Jane had done some of the same things that Jada had done as far as cheating and all those other things in her life. And to me, it kind of sounded more like that when he said, look how upset he is in March. Wait till August gets here. Because what was the girl's name?
What girl are you talking about? That played the role?
Oh, the guy that she cheated with was August something. His name was August something. I think that's where she's going.
Right. So it kind of seemed like it was going more toward the cheating stuff and not the head when it came to some of the other people's understanding. Like I said, I didn't do any research, but when I talked to my daughters, they're always on the internet, and that's what they were talking about. Maybe it was geared more toward the cheating, and maybe he felt some kind of way because of that, that he was more being disrespected in front of his wife in regards to that situation versus alopecia.
Okay, so now can somebody explain something, and I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't catch it. I saw a little clip where – earlier part of the show, a particular individual was on the stage with a bunch of guys, and she said something about, I don't recall exactly how she put it, but she said something to Will about he needs to be up there on stage because Jada already, you know, approved of him, that some folks thought that that was a jab in a sense. Did you guys see any of that? Because it was kind of like a joke that could have been taken the wrong way, but they laughed that one off. Did anyone see that, or does anyone have any clue about what I'm talking about? You know, because it wasn't just Chris Rock who poked fun that night. There was somebody else who poked fun at the Smith family that night. No one recalls seeing it. Okay. All right.
I didn't see that.
So
option,
let me go ahead.
So I only saw the clip.
Yeah, let me open up another mic, 808-498. I see your hand up.
Come on.
Please tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what is your comment.
Hey, CMGS crew. You know
who
it is. It's Grace in the Place, Michael.
The amazing Grace. The amazing Grace from Hawaii. What's up, Grace? How you doing, my sister?
Yes. So, with that subject, okay, I have my niece right here visiting me for her birthday. She has
alopecia. Happy birthday. Okay.
And I'm going to let her say something. But my take on the thing is I don't think Jada has alopecia. I think she has the big C, and she's trying to cover it up. So that's all I'm going to say. Let me let my niece talk to you about the alopecia.
Okay. What's your name? First name only.
Louisa from Connecticut.
Louisa. Okay, go ahead.
Talk about the alopecia.
So, how I feel about the alopecia, well, I can't say that Jada don't have it, but talking about it is somebody else talking about it, like you have a like you can help it. It's nothing you can help. It's a skin disease that, you know, it's pretty much how you feel about yourself. Like, you know, it's embarrassing in a way because you want to be able to wear your long hair and can't because you have bald spots or, you know, your scalp is, like, excessively dry to the point where it's not appealing to So you keep it low. So I pretty much keep it low, but I keep it in a stylish way. You know, I have my sides are cut really low, but I still have to deal with
it's just
conditioning, right?
And it's not a deadly disease.
And right, it's not a deadly disease, but it's not something you yourself can control. It's just that someone else talk about it is like really not comforting, right?
But so, like I said, I think Jayla has a big C, and she's trying to blame it on alopecia. Alopecia does not.
It's how people really, it's, you know, like your self-esteem is like really not comforting. It's like, you know, having anxiety and then somebody else come at you in a way you're not ready for, you know? So then it's not like you can't be strong depending on the moment. You don't know what a person is going through. So sometimes it's just not good to go ahead and make fun at what people is going through because you don't know what's going on at that moment.
Yeah, and I understand that point. In fact, Janet, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Janet, if you don't mind, can you tell our listeners what you have and what you have to deal with?
Well, I don't deal with anything, but I have vitiligo.
Yeah, and you live with.
And that's an autoimmune deficiency where you lose
vitiligo,
the pigmentation in your skin. And throughout the years, I started this with 9 years old. People used to look at me like I was burned or like I had the black plague or something, you know, and I overcame it myself. But a lot of people have a lot of mental issues because of deep depression, you know. And so to me, vitiligo is almost like alopecia. The only difference is you can't put makeup on.
Please put yourself on mute when you're not speaking because your voice is leaking over into what the person is speaking. I don't want to put folks on mute. Okay. Okay, so as you were saying that, go ahead and finish.
I know. I just said the only difference is with the alopecia, you put on a wig or some type of, you know, like
hair piece or something.
Extensions or a hair piece or something. And with vitiligo, you normally would buy a different makeup to cover those blemishes because there's a lot of people, even in the movie industry, who has vitiligo, but you wouldn't know it because they wear makeup to cover
it. Like a Michael Jackson did. Okay.
Yes.
So I just wanted you to share that, and I appreciate you sharing that. I see that, you know, this whole thing has really opened up a can of worms. As you probably have heard, Will has retired. Some folks said he was fired, but he's retired from the Academy, from the board. So he's no longer involved in the voting of films and this and the other. The Academy has said that they're going to have their next meeting. In fact, I think later on this month, as far as, because they have bylaws and everything, and as far as, you know, certain things like this that has occurred. Now, let me back up a moment. Let's look at the long-term effect in which we had spoken a little bit about it, and I want to go back to timing, him being a veteran comedian, the effect it will have on shows for comics or place on this. And here it's going to be material for comics. Chris Rock did a show recently, a couple of nights ago, got a standing ovation, and chose not to really respond to it. Said he's still trying to process what happened. But now, according to someone else I heard on the show, I have not had the time to do the research on it, but I understand that there's supposed to be another or a red table talk with Chris and, of course, Jada and Will regarding the situation. Don't say I have not confirmed it, but someone said they pulled it up on the internet and that's what's out there. Might be hearsay, might be true. And then there's folks saying that this was all staged. It was said to be staged from the beginning. And then look at the fact that Chris Rock's ticket sales have skyrocketed ever since. Why would you take that chance of staging something such violent, well, I won't say such violence, just violence just as a whole? I would have thought that if Will would have went up there and walked up to the mic and said, man, you talk about my woman again, I'm going to whoop your ass, they could have edited that out, and the audience would have laughed. By the way, the audience laughed at the joke also. Maybe not like a kiki ha-ha laugh, but folks were still laughing at the initial joke. Listen to the tape. Watch it again. But some folks think that this is still a planned thing, and some folks say maybe it just got out of hand and went beyond what they expected, the response. What's your thoughts about that? First, I want to go to Timon and his thoughts about it. If it was a planned event, I mean, isn't that a horrible thing to do? And for it to come out this way, of course. Tommy, you there? Okay. Time is not responding right now. He's still on the board. Let me go to Cotton. If this was a hoax, this was staged, don't you think it would be horrible if you found out it was staged? And how would you feel about it?
Nothing, for me, nothing changes. I don't care if you are a comedian. I'm just not a fan of people just saying whatever they feel like saying. And then coming back with, oh, it's a joke. I'm drunk. Oh, I was just mad. Nope, that's how you really felt. So you let it roll off your tongue. Don't disrespect me in any kind of way.
Now,
I don't care.
Talking about this, Rock. He wasn't drunk and he wasn't mad. We're talking about the joke. I mean, I'm not saying anybody.
That's what I said. It was just a joke. I'm giving an example of things when people say stuff. They then put it. They then say, oh, I was drunk, or oh, I was mad. Oh, it was just a joke. Did I look like
but
I was laughing? When he saw Jada's face was not happy, he should have followed it up with, I apologize, Jada, you look stunning. He didn't do that. He kept it going. So to me,
hold on. Before he told the
it's
joke,
disrespectful.
Before he told the joke, he did say, Jade, I think he said either I love you or something. He said something really nice first. I'm just saying.
Verbatim,
yeah,
love you, Jada.
He said, but I can't wait for G.I. Jane 2, what he said. He said, I love you, Jada. Now, first of all, he said, I love you, Jada. He didn't just say, hey, Jada. I can't wait for – he said, I love you, Jada, first. So pretty much he was respecting her in the sense of saying, I love you. And then he made the joke.
It was still – because you asked me, it was still, in my opinion, poor taste of all the things that he could have said to her in that moment. As somebody said earlier, it's a bunch of Caucasian people in that room. If this is a predominantly white people award, why wouldn't you say, Jada, you look stunning. I love the way you, whatever, whatever, whatever. Why are we making fun of the fact that she shaved her head? Why are we doing, instead of complimenting her, you're insulting her? Of all the people in the room, you picked her.
Okay. I understand what you're conveying, but the thing is that what we're missing in the whole thing is what I've said many a times on other shows since this whole thing happened, and I will continue to say, when you are a celebrity, you are a public figure, you are taking the risk of being ridiculed and joked about. You take that risk. And Jada Pinkett has put her personal life out there. So you made it open. You made it open for people to talk about.
And keep in mind that he is a comedian.
His job is to make people laugh.
You can get slapped if you say the wrong thing.
But you know the old saying. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. And I think that should have been the approach that Will Smith should have been. But hold on, sweetheart. That's the approach Will Smith should have taken before he started clapping and laughing at the joke. See, you forget the fact he was laughing at the joke.
I don't think that matters. In his moment, he did what he felt he needed to do. It doesn't matter how you feel. That's not your wife. That's not my wife. That's his wife. He did what he felt he needed to do.
I understand that. But the thing is, I cannot get past. And please, explain to me. How the hell, okay, in fact, imagine I'm Will Smith and you are, okay, Jada Pinkett. And somebody, I'll say even Eric Kimbrough, who's there, here on the line from Las Vegas, tells a joke and I'm cracking up laughing and you look at me like, and I've known Eric for years. They all know each other, trust me. I've known Eric ever since junior high school. Okay, and I'm laughing my ass off, and all of a sudden, my wife or girlfriend, meaning you, look at me like, oh, you find that funny? And I look at Eric, and I just change my laughter to anger and slap the shit out of Eric. Eric will look at me like, damn, dude, you were just laughing at the shit. Now you mad? That doesn't add up. Something's wrong with that. You shouldn't have laughed in the beginning and clapping your hands.
That tells me that Will is not fully heard the joke. This is my thing.
I'm gonna let you finish. But that tells me right there.
No, you're not gonna let me finish.
The pants. Go ahead. No, I'm gonna let you finish. I'm sorry, I was quiet.
My thing is that everybody makes these speculations. That's his wife at the end of the day. He handled it the way he needed to handle it. Whether he chuckled or not, you don't know if he fully heard the joke. You don't know if he actually understood what was being said, because sometimes that happens. And at any given moment, he had already been warned to stop speaking on Jada. But he continues to do it. This ain't the first time Chris has been told, stop speaking on my wife, dude. But here you are again at this award show, and this isn't part of your commentary. You're supposed to be talking about what's on the board, and here it is you again, you speaking on my wife in a negative manner. Whatever she did with August, that's her business. That's it.
Neither does the next man, and neither does the next woman.
At the same time, comedians, there is a line. I don't care if you're comic or not. There should be a line that you should never cross, and you should have some type of common courtesy or common sense to say, you know what, I probably shouldn't say that, even though I know it's a joke. It probably be a good one, but here it is, you trying to get good laughs on behalf of Jada and Will because they're the popular people in the room. So no, I don't agree. I think you should have got slapped again.
Okay, so can I ask you this, and I'm going to move on and let other individuals chime in. Do you feel it was right that they both, Chris apologized first. He apologized first, okay? And then the day after, which we saw the video of Will partying and enjoying, which he deserved, I have to say this. He did, okay, no disrespect towards Will Smith as far as his craft. As far as what he does, I love Will Smith as an actor. I don't know him personally. I just feel like he was out of character. I feel, in me personally, I feel he was wrong to involve violence. I would have looked at him coming there and taking the mic. He could have went on the mic and said exactly what he said in the audience. He could have said, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth right there on the stage and walked off without putting hands on the man. That would have been a different story. But once you involve violence, that makes it all worse. But the thing is, I have to give him credit. I've seen the movie 3 times. I've watched it. I own the movie. I've bought it. I think he did an excellent job. He deserved the award for the movie as Richard Williams in the movie King Richard. Everybody in that movie did an excellent job. Kudos to the two young ladies who played Serena and Venus. They did an excellent job. I wish they would have been nominated. Everybody did great. So with that being said, but the Williams family didn't like the fact that when he did his speech at the end, he invoked Richard Williams as far as why he reacted the way he did, because Richard did the same thing protecting the family. The family members had said this. They didn't like the fact that he tied that all together. That's a different conversation we can come back to probably next week. But that's what he did. But we're at the 7:50 hour. We only have 10 minutes left. Let me go to Janet Davis. Do you have a final comment on this?
Well, the only thing I have to say is the G.I. Jane movie was really Demi Moore. And a comedian is a comedian. And Will didn't have to slap him in the face. He could have just, like you said, sit in the seat and said something to him. I don't know about how many times Chris Rock said something about Jada Pinkett, but this was my first time experiencing it, watching the actual slap.
Well, the same thing, when he said the last thing, at the last award show, he said something regarding her boycotting being at the awards. Which he agreed with it. He said something in the sense of that's like something. And then he said, he couldn't believe that Will got $20 million for doing the movie Wild Wild West, which was a bomb. True. I've seen the movie and I'm like, yeah, $20 million for a movie that didn't make $20 million for one man. Yeah, that's interesting. The movie didn't even make $20 million at the time when it came out. You know, that's interesting.
Right.
So, you know, but go ahead. You were about to say, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, no, that was just it. You know, I just feel people have their feelings. Sometimes you wear your feelings on your sleeve. But if you want to keep yourself private, then be private. Don't air your dirty laundry and then come back and now all of a sudden there's an issue because somebody says something. That was not the time and place for it. He could have pulled them after the show. He didn't have to go up on stage and actually slap them. And I truly believe that had it been somebody bigger, he would not have got up there and slapped them.
Yeah, had it been The Rock or Mike Tyson, that wouldn't have happened. Okay, let me go ahead and see. Timon, are you still here? Time and Ship, he's still on the board.
Well, you know he usually leaves.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah, because he has another show he has to go to. Cotton, you have any final words you want to say? I know you, I mean, you know, and my sister, I'm not against you. Everybody has their right to have a belief in what they see and defend it, you know. I'm sorry, 678-599. I see you have your hand up. I've opened up your mic. You have a comment?
Hey, Michael.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hey, look, you guys, thank you so much for chiming in. You know, I knew this was going to go by fast. I knew it was going to be a lot of different points of view, and it's going to continue to be. So we may touch on it next week and maybe not. I don't want to, what do they call it? Keep kicking a dead horse. But this horse is live and well, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a topic for some time to come. Next Saturday, we got some more great conversations, more topics that we're going to discuss. And we have a special guest who's going to join us. He's been with us before, Mr. Joe Levy. If you haven't heard his new single for his upcoming sophomore release, he has a new track called Love You To My Soul. Oh, my God. It's one of the baddest cuts. Trust me. Grace, wouldn't you agree? Okay, now Grace is going to get quiet on me. It's an awesome
very much. Joe Levy is
awesome.
The man.
He is
yes,
the
I
man.
You.
And so he's coming back.
Joe
yes,
Levy
he's coming
is
on
the man.
Yeah, he's
Joe Levy can
coming
come
back.
Into my garden anytime.
and let you know, next Saturday, by the way,
I
ain't going to say that. His wife will definitely be hunting you down. Next Saturday, next Saturday, Denise L. Wilkerson, our family, our co-host, tomorrow night she's going to be at an event that's going to be honoring, I think I already mentioned this, she's going to be honoring Mr. Lilo Thomas. You guys know Lilo from back in the day. Also Shirley Williams, Shirley Jones of the Jones Girls. They're being honored tomorrow night in Atlantic City. And so hopefully I can reach out to both of them because, you know, they've been guests on the show before. And let's see. Denise is going to give us some updates of how tomorrow night's event went. And with that being said, again, I want to thank you guys so much for your love and support here on the TMGS. Every Saturday, I'm so thankful for, you know, all the co-hosts that continue, especially the one and only Janet Davis, who does all the research for the show, does all the flyers for the show, you know, rain or shine. I can always depend on Janet. And I just thank God that we're still doing this. And, you know, after the things that we went through a couple of years ago, we're still moving forward. And we're going to continue to do so because we love to talk with you. I look forward to every Saturday to have these conversations, and I look forward to the people who chime in and share their thoughts and their opinions. My special guest this evening, which was Vitae Story Williams and Taja Ray Burney, thank you, ladies, for sharing about EACL, Esports Amateur Competitor League. Hey, we're going to definitely get the information out there to folks to make sure that they get involved. And if you're not going to get involved, at least learn about it and share it with somebody who may get involved, okay? So with that being said, thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Right now, as I'm just running my mouth, I'm trying to find my closing theme, which seems to evade me every time. But this time I found it. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next Saturday with our guest, Mr. Joe Levy, and probably another guest here on the TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.